All right, ladies and gentlemen, it happened again. Whether you knew it or not, you hit play on another
tantalizing episode of V8 Radio.
Kevin. Episode of V8 Radio. Wow, I'm tantalized. I actually know what tantalizing means.
Right on. Why don't you tell us all?
It means when you get tantled.
It's correct. Correct. Or having a strong power to provoke or hold interest.
Oh, right on. Do we have any of that?
Maybe a little. Based on our present location.
There you go. Well, I'm Kevin Ostey, joined as always by our esteemed co-host, Mr. Mike Hubal Clark, and we're coming to you live to recording from the dead center of the 2021 Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals in beautiful Rosemont, Illinois, right near Chicago.
Boy, howdy. I'm so glad that we're back here. I mean, of course, 2020, we had to take off. The show didn't happen. And it's great to have this back again. It's like we never left. Great crowds, Saturday and Sunday. Amazing vehicles.
Yeah, that's totally true. And so last year, of course, was the online virtual Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals from the Brothers Collection. And this year, you know, we've heard different events and people hemming and hawing if they're going to go or not. Well, everybody came to this one, so.
They sure did, man. In droves.
Yeah, and what's even cooler is the, it's like a two-year build-up to this show, because it didn't happen in two calendar years, you know, essentially.
Correct.
So all the hot cars are here. But before we get into that, we do a thing on this podcast every once in a while at the beginning of every show, where we throw out a trivia question that you can play along at home and yell correct answers at the device.
Or you say, cringe, ooh, that's not correct.
Oh, yeah. A little nod to Michael in our shop, who was listening to Mr. Cueball try to answer a trivia question recently and went, ooh, yeah, that's not right.
Oh, boy.
All right, so have you prepared a trivia question?
Absolutely. And since we are at the 2021 Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals, I figure it only apropos that I come up with a Corvette-centric trivia question.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Right? How about that? It's almost like I did some show prep today.
Almost.
Crazy. Okay. So, Kevin, the 2022 Z06 Corvette has the Corvette-only LT6 engine in it. What was the internal code name of the LT6 engine from GM?
That's a great one. I know very little about the LT6 because it's so new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's a 5.5 liter, mm-hmm. right? Flat plane crank, overhead cam.
Double overhead cam.
Yeah, double overhead cam, naturally aspirated. Bad machine.
Yes.
That we would love to have in a crate program, and apparently GM isn't going to do it yet. But what do they call it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't read anything on it. So it's not an intuitive answer. I can't deduce and land on it.
Okay.
So I'm just going to take a...
You're going to take a whiff?
Take a wag at this one.
Okay.
And they called it... You know, it's going to have something to do with the fact that it's a non-pushrod Corvette production engine, I'm going to guess, right? Some kind of...
I don't know.
Some kind of historical nod. So... They called it Le Mans.
Le Mans. Ooh. That is a great answer.
It's a big stretch because it is, but that's my guess.
Okay. Final answer?
That's it, man.
Duly noted.
All right. Okay, well, seeing that we're coming here from the Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals,
really?
I thought it'd only be apropos to do a Corvette-based question.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know?
Well, Corvette is this Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals' middle name, after all.
Yeah, right?
So I ask you, how many 1970 Corvettes were built in black?
Ooh, wow. Were built in black.
Painted black from the factory.
I got a feeling that this is a Kevin Oste trick trivia question.
Trick trivia. What is that? Trick trivia.
We all know what that is. Even Michael at the shop knows what that is.
No.
Okay. How many were painted black? Well, I don't think it's going to be a very big number.
Well, there's not a whole lot of 70
Corvettes. So anyway. It doesn't matter, big block, small block.
Correct. Yeah, just...
Okay. Since I don't know the exact number, I'm going to take a wag.
Okay.
And I'm going to say one.
One?
One was painted black.
Wow. That's a daringly low number
of
black Corvettes.
Yeah, well, it's a daringly low question.
All right. If that's your final answer,
yep.
It is duly noted. We'll
All
find
right.
out at the end of the show.
Dig it.
All right. So so here we are at the McCacken Show, man. We're back. Whew. And
I've never worked so hard in my life.
Yeah, had a little work to do here this weekend. So I got in on Friday afternoon. The show setup day is like, I think they actually started setting up on Wednesday this year.
I think so.
So they had a couple days of preset. Saturday was the first day it was open to the public, and then here we are today on Sunday. I got here Friday afternoon and had the opportunity to kind of scope things out and see some cars before the gates opened to the public Saturday, and shot some video ahead of time of some cars, and then Saturday we showed up first thing in the morning, and I was scheduled to, this year I've learned I'm the official MC of this event.
You were. You absolutely were.
That's printed in the magazine.
Yeah. Oh, right.
That's how I learned that. I got my McCacken magazine in the mail, and I'm like, oh, look.
Oh, look at that. I just got promoted.
I got promoted. So I think it was supposed to be John Kramen from Mecum.
Correct.
And maybe somebody else also doing unveilings.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Mr. Kramen couldn't make it. So I ended up doing the majority of the unveilings, outside of a couple.
Correct.
That Scott...
Our good friend Scott Hope from Mecum Auctions helped out.
He did a great job, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think on my end, I think we did 22 cars.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I was there with you for just about all of them.
Yeah, you were shooting video on them. And that's a pretty cool thing, you know. These featured restorations are revealing cars to the public that have not been seen in their restored form.
Correct.
And some of them have been displayed here in the barn find section in previous years, you know, covered in dust and pre-restoration. Yeah. So to see them come full circle and get unveiled is really something special.
It really is. Some of these cars I remember seeing in the barn find section, and then seeing them come back to life has been a real treat.
Yeah. And they all have great stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard the stories that kind of ran the gamut this year
of
behind the scenes stories of these cars. And that's really what I like to do with these unveilings is learn a little bit about it and have the owner and the restorer share what's this car all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest challenge of this show is people can come here and walk up and down the aisles and look at all these cars, and unless you're standing there with the builder or the owner, a lot of times it's hard to really get a sense of what the true story is on the car.
Yeah, it is. Right now we're looking at a row of really beautiful Buick GSs, and each one is going to have a unique story, and each one is going to be special. But yeah, you're right. You need to go up and talk to the owner, read about the vehicle to really get a sense of what the vehicle is.
Yeah, so for example, there's a GS right across from us that is wearing a color called Titian Red.
Yeah, right.
Which was not in the color palette for 70 Buick GSs. It was a Riviera color in 1970 and is in fact the color of my own 70 Riviera. It looks a lot nicer on this car.
It looks good on this car, I got to admit.
But it's got a striking color combo with a white vinyl top and a white interior.
It's got a roll cage in it, too.
It's got a roll cage because that car gets raced. And
and
the week before this show started, they were putting a new short block together for that car.
No kidding.
Yeah, they broke it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Right. So that's a great example of one of the little stories about these cars.
Right, yeah.
That, you know, a guy had told me about this car. gentleman that put this display together. But I think the topper this year was the very first unveiling, which was a surprise unveiling.
And that was really nice. That was really cool.
It was really well done. So the story goes, Bob Ashton, who is the principal here at the Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals and kind of the guy that puts all this together with his team, he came to me and said, the first one's going to be it's so special we can't even print it in the schedule.
Mm.
Which usually means we don't have something, you know?
Right.
It's too new to print or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they actually did. And for some context, if you've seen any of the advertising for the Muscle Car and Corvette Nats, you see a good-looking gal in a 60s-themed, you know, dress, and they really play up the colors and the kind of the psychedelic look of the late 60s. Mm-hmm. And her name is Adriana Straub. And Adriana is kind of the featured model for the show, but she's not just a model. She's also a racer. Right?
Mm.
Pure stock drag racer. And she started racing with a 1970 Oldsmobile 442 W30 car that's orange with white stripes, orange steel wheels, dog dish caps. Great car.
Mm-hmm.
Air conditioning car, too. Heavy car.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she ran this thing for a couple of years, and I think she's known for cutting a pretty quick light. And in pure stock, I think she ran 13-14 as her best time in that car.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it's, you know, basically a stock 70 old. So, I mean, that's respectable for sure.
Good times, yeah.
So as time went on, in her family, her grandfather had passed and bequeathed the family his Dodge
Dart. Yes.
Yeah, it's not a Duster, it's a Dart.
Correct.
And her father said, you know, you want to keep racing? And she said, yeah, absolutely. And he said, okay, well, we got to do something with these cars. We got too many cars. So maybe we got to get rid of one, unless you can figure out how to finance, you know, and pay for the one. And we're not getting rid of grandfather's Dart.
Yeah.
So that means...
That narrows our choices.
Yeah. So Adriana said, okay, well, I guess, you know, we'll sell the Oldsmobile and I'll race the Dart next year. And I learned her grandfather had raced that car in the past, so it was not a stranger to the drag strip.
Right.
And in fact, we met Adriana and featured that Dart in the Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals After Hours live video broadcast we did a few years ago, 2018. That was one of the feature cars. We talked to her about it, looked at the car.
Very cool.
So you can jump on YouTube and find that video and see who we're talking about. So Adriana gets behind the wheel of the Dart for the first time, goes down the track and comes back and said, Dad, there's something wrong with this car.
It doesn't steer right, doesn't brake well. What's going on?
Yeah, and he said, it's because it's a Dodge Dart. And I'm not taking anything from Dodge Darts, but a Highline, you know, Oldsmobile 442 with air conditioning, power steering, power brakes. And
right.
It's a cush ride compared to a bare bones Dart. So she, you know, kind of accepted that it was going to be different and ended up racing it a couple of seasons and did pretty well with it, you know. But she always really wanted that Oldsmobile back. She missed
Don't
the
blame
car.
Her. Yeah.
Yeah, missed the car. Well, the big surprise was that her parents were in a position to track down Adriana's Oldsmobile. They live, I believe, in Wisconsin, and the car went to New York or something, and they brought it back, and they realized that it had some dings and dents, and so they had it repainted and a mild restoration done. And they didn't tell her. She had no idea this was coming. So here's the car under the cover. It's the very first one in the door for the featured unveilings, and Bob says to me, all right, so here's what we're going to do. You're going to unveil this car, and it's Adriana's car, and they're giving it back to her, and she's got no idea this is coming. So we had to do a little bit of a dance, you know, to kind of time this out. And the only thing that was a little bit strange is that normally when we do the unveiling, the owner's standing there with us
right.
in the store, right? Well, we start this one, and it's just me. So I'm trying to drum up a little bit of crowd, warm up, you know, welcoming people to the show and thanking them for coming out and how we missed doing this in the past and it's all great now. And I said, so the, we're getting ready to pull the cover off our very first car, and casually said, hey, Adriana, do you want to help us out and pull the cover? Because during the show, Adriana's role here is a representative spokesperson, mm-hmm. and she's here to help pull the covers and take pictures. Sure. And so she's, you know, she's here to do this.
Drum up some crowd enthusiasm. All that good stuff.
Yeah, and she's also an ambassador for a Canadian Oldsmobile Club. I mean.
Oh, cool.
So she's no stranger to the crowds. So I said, Adriana, do you mind helping me pull the cover off this one? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. So she goes to the front of the car, and her uncle sneaks in on the other side and starts peeling back the cover on the other side. And I said, all right, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for this this beautiful Oldsmobile. Adriana, we get halfway through now. The cover's at the windshield. Adriana, does this car look familiar?
Yeah.
And she just kind of stops.
Yeah. The realization when it washed over her face was priceless.
And she's looking at this thing like, and peels back a little bit further and turns and looks at me, and I said, this is your car.
Mm.
No, this.
This very car is yours.
Yeah.
My gosh.
And then there was tears and blubbering and crying, and that was just me.
She was stoic and stone-faced.
Yeah, right. No, everybody thought it was really cool, yeah. And she couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe it all day because she helped do the rest of the unveilings mm-hmm. until after 1 o'clock, and she kept telling me, I'm like, has this sunk in yet? And she's like, no. So that was really nice and really well done, and she's going to go out you know, the only downside to unveiling that car here is we are in November, and she said, I want to go race this tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's too cold, so.
Yeah, it is too cold. Later on in the day when I saw her, you know, she recounted the whole moment. I said, so are you gonna race that car? She's like, absolutely. I'm like, perfect.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, there's no stopping
it's
her.
It's a beautiful car, too.
The car came out. Fantastic.
Just, mwah.
Yeah. It's got all the right elements. I mean, the mm-hmm. color's right. The stance is right.
Yep.
You know, the raised white letter tires, the wheels.
Yeah.
And what's really cool is that Adriana and her younger sister are both into it. They race.
I love
for
it.
For real.
That
you know, because they like
man.
It. They yeah. want to. It's not like dad strapping him in saying, sit down, shut up, and hit the gas. You know, this is for real. And recently, she's... kind of branching out to help other younger people get excited about drag racing. And, you know, muscle cars for sure, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a muscle car, but
right.
just the whole racing culture, you know.
Yeah.
Her mom drag races, her dad drag races, grandfather did, everybody did. They're a racing family.
Family tradition.
Yeah. And that ends up happening more often than not, I think, because if you play it right, I mean, everybody in her family races, but even if mom... or dad doesn't race, there's a function for dad at the track.
Yeah.
Be part of the pit crew.
Sure.
Fire up the barbecue, you know, negotiate the space and drive the truck, whatever. You know,
yes.
Something. It's a team sport.
All day. Yep.
Within a family. So that was, it's great to see. And she told me she's going to start a Facebook page or a website or something with pointers on how somebody that's, you know, teens or 20s can get involved and not just watch it on YouTube, but get out there and do it.
I think that's needed.
Yeah.
All day. That's great.
Well, and of course, there's an angle that she's kind of targeting females
that's
to get involved, too,
too
which
yeah.
is great. But I think everybody needs
the more
exposure.
The merrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a good one. The other 21 are a blur.
Let's do a rundown of every unveiling.
Yeah. We did a couple twin unveilings, two at a time cars.
Yeah, sure
we unveiled a pair of Buick GSXs, which was insane.
I mean, it's Buick heaven for you today.
This year it is.
Yeah.
So there's the two, a white 70 and a blue 71, Stratomus blue GSX.
Yep.
Beautiful cars. Right at the front door, we unveiled those. There's... a couple of more in the GM Heavy Hitters display,
mm-hmm.
including another 70 GS Stage 1 convertible that is in a Riviera color.
Is that right?
Like this Titian red one, but it's the And I even forgot the name, but it's like a slate gray, the platinum or darker metallic gray.
Well, we can't forget your ultimate car, which is the Saturn Yellow GSX that you got to unveil.
Got to unveil a Saturn Yellow GSX. And then here in the GS Invitational, there's 20-some. So, yeah, there's a lot of great Buicks here. I was happy to see it.
Yeah. It's off the hook.
It is.
The Bob Ashton and company have really outdone themselves.
Yeah, and I always love the theme displays and the different gatherings and seeing all the people. There's so many nice people at this show.
It's great. Everyone's so happy to be here. Everyone's so cool. It's great. It's great to be back here. It's hard to put in words, but it just feels great to be here again.
Feels like feel like you're at home.
Mm-hmm. You do. Feel like I'm in my living room.
Yeah, well, if my living room looked like this, I would never leave
Never
my
leave home.
Home,
yeah.
So, yeah, all the Buicks and the GSs and the GSXs, to me, I love those cars. But they're a little bit different because if I found the right GSX tomorrow that I could afford, I would buy one. But there are cars here that are the car that it was built or owned by somebody or... You know, a one of one, and not to belittle anything, but not a production quality standard, you know, original GSX or what have you. And one of the all time holy grail cars for me is sitting right there. So as we record this, we're in the Mecum display for Mecum Auctions, and we have to thank those guys for letting us take over their table and chairs. They're all standing there.
Thanks, Dana.
They're all literally standing there. looking at us
like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, what about chairs, pal?
We'll be done in a minute.
Yeah. But at the Mecum Kissimmee, Florida auction in January 22, they are auctioning off the Hiro Hatta Merc.
Wow.
51 Mercury. It's like the all-time Paramount custom car. It was done in the early 50s by George and Sam Barris. And anytime you see a chop Merc today, it owes basically all of its design lineage to this one.
It sure does.
Yeah. And there's another little car that I like to call Cadzilla that also owes a lot to that one.
Right.
In its design.
Little car. Sort of significant.
Yeah. But not as significant as this one.
Yeah.
No
well,
way.
This is the car.
This is the
it's
car.
It's it.
And what's funny is we're here at the muscle car show of the world.
Yep.
And there's a lead sled sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who have no idea what that is.
Well, all you have to do is read about it.
Read about it. Well, there's videos. Mm-hmm. We shot a video on it.
Yep.
But it was kind of surreal last night. We were able to stay late with an opportunity to shoot video after hours after the show closed. And you and I spent hour and a half.
Yeah.
With the Hiro Hatta car, just shooting video and looking at it and hanging around it and
just really taking it all in.
That's an opportunity that you know I really relished because that does not happen. Well, that's a once in a lifetime, right?
Sure.
There, you know.
Yeah. So, who knows? I mean, when it goes to Kissimmee in January, they will go across the block. Who knows where it's going to end up?
Right. We have no idea.
Yeah.
Hopefully to a good home.
Hopefully.
There's some tremendous cars that are going to be at that auction, by the way. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
And as I look at here at the Mecum booth, the Kissimmee Flyer has a Ferrari F40 and a Racing Grand Sport Corvette and the Hiro Hatta Merc.
And the Merc.
Right on the cover.
Yeah.
So that was pretty magical and totally unexpected. I didn't have any idea the car was going to be here. And then right next to it is our friend George Poteet's 61 Ford Starliner.
Mm. That car has turned me into a Starliner fan.
and everybody wants one now.
Yeah, I never gave much thought about them. And I knew they existed and they were cool. Looking at this Starliner really sets the bar high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the Starliner was a Galaxy option that had a fastback roofline, like a bubble top Impala, and it was done for NASCAR for aerodynamics. That's why they did those. And Mr. Poteet is not only I think the highest number of land speed records ever. I think he's got the most land speed records these days. not only is he that and a collector, but he's a Starliner fanatic. Mm-hmm. He's got some awesome ones. He's got a Bobby Alloway built Starliner. Yeah, he's got some stuff. But he had his buddies Zach Straits, our friend, all of our everybody's friend Zach Straits, mm-hmm. and his buddy Rick, I believe, did the restoration on this 61. And it's not 100% accurate, faithful, correct. It's turned up in every way, but it's the same stuff turned up. So it's the original engine, but it's just done so nicely. And it's very close to the original color, but it's got a little more pearl in it and metallic. Mm. And instead of having, it's got all of its original trim, but it's not just the tin polished stuff. They chromed the grill.
Right.
And they chromed the dog dish hubcaps.
That's next level stuff.
It is, and it's this light blue, and with the polished and the chrome trim, it just jumps.
It really does. It pops out at you, slaps you in the face.
Yeah, you look at this thing, and it just draws you in. You mm-hmm. know, and it's a 390 FEV8 under the hood, with an automatic transmission, and they put RideTech springs on it and helped the brakes out a little bit so that it was more drivable.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's like the nicest detailed Starliner I've ever seen. And so I turned my head from the Hirohata to the Starliner. And the Starliner is an early muscle car, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it certainly was.
Here for a second.
So seeing that, and like I said, we've taken over the Mecum desk, and one of the guys needs to get something out of here. Thanks for letting us use this for a few minutes, by the way.
Appreciate it.
So... I had seen the Starliner being built and restored by Zach and company on social media, but I'd never seen it in person.
Oh, cool.
And seeing it here in person, it was 1,000 times nicer than the pictures.
It's always nicer in person.
Well, not always. Well, that's the thing.
Oh, you know what? You're right. You're right.
Many times you see a car on TV or you see a car in a magazine or something, and you go see it in person, and you go, oh.
Yeah, clever photography can hide a lot of sins. You're right.
Yeah, a little thing called Photoshop.
Yeah, well, there's that.
This one doesn't need it.
No.
It's better in person. So I immediately, they afford me the opportunity to have a pick award, which gets a trophy mm-hmm. and whatnot. And I picked that Starliner immediately. And, you know, everybody knows me as a Buick guy, but I'm also a Galaxy fan. I have my 62 and... When I learned about Starliners a long time ago, actually, I think our buddy Eric showed me a lot about those cars.
Right?
Yeah, and I thought they're awesome. And then to see this one, I'm like, that's my winner. So he's got a trophy over there now. And one of their buddies actually works for George, Alan Hutchinson,
mm-hmm.
comes up, and he knows that I know Zach, and he knows that I know George.
Sure.
And he said, hey. What is this, a little politically motivated trophy there? What is this, you know, nepotism? And I told him, absolutely not. I don't care who owns this car. It deserves it.
Yep.
It's the car.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you just have to see it to believe it.
Right. So I did have to backtrack a little bit because here we have all the Buicks I could ever imagine wanting in this room.
Right.
And I pick a Ford.
You pick a Ford. Just makes you question everything you believe in.
Yeah, well, my grandmother used to say when she would give out gifts at Christmas time to all the grandkids and her own kids, each gets the same.
Mm.
Right? So rather than play favorites on one of the Buicks.
Right. I gotcha.
Go to left field, pick a Ford. And equally value all the rest of the Buicks.
Fair enough.
So, that's, you know, only scratching the surface of the stuff that's here.
I'm curious about something here. Take a look to your right. And in front of us is, what, maybe is that a 65 Corvette, maybe?
Yeah, from here it looks like it.
With a beautiful red car, racing, vintage, has a 14 on it. But it's got a Ferrari plate.
Yeah, and it's red.
Yeah,
what's
and it's
deal?
Red.
Yeah, what's the deal?
I don't know.
I didn't look at it yet.
Yeah, but I'm just noticing that. I mean, there's
I saw that earlier.
There's oddball stuff around here, all over the show, and that really makes me curious.
Well, you know, Corvettes and Ferraris go together like
like oil and water.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's what really stands out to me.
Well, so again, sitting here in the Mecum display, they always bring out really high level stuff that's going to be. This is the pre-show for their Florida auction.
Correct.
There's a yellow Hemi Cuda convertible sitting over there.
There sure is.
You know, and so this is one of those little shows within the show.
Yeah, that's going to take down a few million bucks.
Oh yeah, easily.
Yeah, all day.
So the other theme displays, there's a Ram Air Firebird display that is insane.
Don't get me started. Holy cow. That is like, that's the pinnacle for me right there. I love it. I love Firebirds. I love all Firebirds. But these are just off the hook.
Ram Air 2, Ram Air 3, Ram Air 4. And I guess you said there was supposed to be a Ram Air 5.
Supposed to be a Ram Air 5 Trans Am here, but I haven't seen it. It was in the Mika magazine. The McCacken magazine. But I haven't seen it. It may have been a no-show. I'll have to ask Bob.
One of the cars that we looked at over there, an unveiling, in fact, was a 68 Ram Air 2 Firebird in Rally Green. Four-speed car, black interior. Fresh restoration done by Level One, matching original hubcaps. Do you remember the name of those caps? I forget what they're called, but they're full wheel cover. It's not a dog dish cap. I think Gary just called them the full wheel covers.
Yeah, I think they had like deluxe wheel covers, but I don't think those were them.
Yeah, it's a sporty looking cap.
Yeah.
And then the Ram Air 2 engine under the hood, which is kind of a unique one. A lot of people don't know much about the Ram Air 2.
Yeah, well, it's a round port head, has a Ram Air 4 cam. It doesn't have the 1.65 rockers. But what gets it going, I think it's a bit lighter than other the Ram Air 4 cars. So it really scoots out.
There's really no other options on the car,
right.
So it's kind of a stripper version. Mm-hmm. And that one belongs to Phil Mitchell, who brought out a bunch of awesome cars here. But again, not your everyday car show kind of car.
No, you'd be lucky to see any of these, one of these, at like a local car show. But to have a room full of 400 or 500 of them,
yeah.
I mean, how do you not want to come to this show?
Yeah. Well, if you've never been, you need to come.
Yeah. I put a Facebook post that I was at the Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals. And one of my buddies I grew up with out in Ohio says, oh, man, that looks like an awesome show. I said, well, they have it every year. A weekend before Thanksgiving, you now have 364 days to prep.
That's it.
Yeah.
Get it on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
We need to see you here. And a few other interesting ones. So my only friend in the whole world, Charlie Lillard, brought out a 1957 Chevrolet Bel Air, right? Sure, we've all seen 57 Bel Airs. Mm-hmm. Very famous car. Well, this one's black. Yeah, great. Gray interior. Yeah. Sure, seen those before. This one is a four-door hardtop, which is pretty unusual.
Yeah.
But it's factory fuel injected.
Phew.
Like the only one.
Yeah.
Automatic.
Plus power windows.
Power windows, power seat,
power
steering.
Yeah.
Just crazy stuff. 46,000 miles on it. It was in the vintage certification section, getting crawled over and judged for authenticity, and it's the real deal.
Original paint. I didn't see any checks on any of that paint. Any checking.
It was in good shape, except for it was all rubbed through in spots.
It was rubbed through on the roof, sure.
Yeah.
That's why there's no checking. It's that thin.
Yeah, guy polished it religiously. But so that's one. Charlie didn't even know that car existed, and then I guess somebody contacted him on it
right.
and said, you need to have this car.
Well, he said it was here before.
He did say it was here before, and I never saw it.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
So,
right now, as you look around, there's things you are not seeing.
Correct. You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. But, if that red GS shows back up again, I'll remember it.
That one for sure.
Yeah.
There's an AAR CUDA display. Where I think they have TA Challengers and AAR CUDAs in every color.
Cool. I remember when they had every color Boss 429 Mustang.
Yeah.
Every factory color offered.
Yep. And speaking of Mustangs, there was another unveiling of a 70 Boss 302.
Right.
Which is part of the Brothers Collection, which, as you know, we shoot Muscle Car of the Week out of. And it is the only one ever built in black. There it is.
Maybe that's a nod to your trivia question as well.
Yeah.
Ooh, how about that? Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, that would be. Huh, interesting. Maybe you've made that connection.
Maybe, perhaps.
So, you know, the list goes on and on. There's a Z16 Chevelle in the barn find section.
Yep. There's also another 396 65 Chevelle, not a Z16, but was actually a Copo car. It's a two-door post car that was ordered with a 396 and not the 375 horse 396, but the 425 horse solid cam 396.
Yep.
Only one of its kind.
And there it is.
Yeah. And according to our good friend Frank Simkowski, who's here with his 71 Torino convertible, beautiful car as well, put that out on the Chevelle forums, and everyone was calling him a liar.
Right. And, you know, and that's part of the deal. So if somebody comes to you on the street at a gas station and they've got something that they think is the only one or whatever, you know,
you take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it could be, might not be, who knows. But here, it's different. Because you have a building full of the most knowledgeable people in this hobby that own these cars, and the certification judges, and guys like Jim Madison.
Correct. I've seen him wandering around here as well today.
Jim worked at Chevrolet in the Copo program.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
If someone's going to know.
And he went up to that car and said it was legit. In fact, that was his pick of the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
That gives a lot of credibility to that car.
And Jim Madison maintained a list of all of the serial numbers of all those 396 motors. And there was one that went to a 300, you know, Chevelle 300 post coupe. And he said that's got
to
be it.
Yeah, he's been really key to the being able to legitimize a lot of these cars. He also started Pontiac Historical Services. He got all those old records that GM wanted to throw away, that Pontiac wanted to throw away, and was able to form a huge business out of it. You send in your serial number, and you get the build sheet, you get the all the invoices, everything that came with that car from the factory to prove what it is. Shows all the options, proves what it isn't, also proves what it is.
Right. He's disproved quite a number of cars as well, probably more than have been legitimized.
Sure.
So another interesting Pontiac, only one, is the humbler GTO car that was in the commercial back in 1970.
That's right. Silver 1970 GTO with the VOE, vacuum-operated exhaust option. Yeah.
And, you know, we had a trivia question a while back about how many of those were actually sold. But this one is unique because it's the car that was in the commercial. Not just the commercial, but a Super Bowl commercial.
Correct. Correct. And as the legend goes, the GM brass saw that commercial and blew a gasket and shut the whole program down, saying, "We cannot have this option. You cannot you cannot sell this."
Yeah. You can't sell essentially an exhaust cutout.
Yeah, correct.
From the factory. And it's interesting because that's one of the few stories that I've heard that I don't know that I believe here. And I say that only because I've done quite a bit of work with General Motors over the years, at press events and with car unveilings and show cars and stuff like that. And every time you work with GM, every second is documented and planned, and it's got to be approved, and there's got to be people doing stuff, and it's a very rigid, tight ship.
Sure.
Sometimes it can be a little difficult to work with because there's so many. Everybody's got their thing to do. So to have a whole division create an option that the brass wasn't aware of, I had to see it on a TV commercial. I'm not sure. But, you know, 1970 was a different time.
True. I mean, think about the GTO, the story of the GTO that was kind of built in secrecy and kind of snuck through the channels until it was almost too late to cancel. So those things, you know, did happen. So it's very possible that story has some credence to it. So
it is.
It would be great if there was a GM engineer who was still alive that was actually part of that conversation, or somebody in the GM brass that could actually prove that
for the Humbler. Or
yes, for the Humbler.
Well, there was four of them here. Four of the guys that worked on the car were here.
That's true.
So, you know, you can just go over there and ask them.
Yeah, we should. That's right. That's right. There is. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So that's a video that we shot that will be coming out on that car. So it was neat to see.
It was neat.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen that commercial on YouTube. Guy running his 70 GTO through like a drive-through kind of a restaurant, pulls the exhaust open, looking for some action, looking for some racing action. Nobody wants a piece of him because they're humbled by the Humbler.
Yeah, exactly.
So he leaves and he's on his way.
Yep, top dog.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, so many different, and it's not, let's see, we talked about a Ford, a Mercury Custom, and some Buicks, and
Pontiacs,
of course, Chevrolets, and Mopars. And, you know, it's all here, man.
Chevys and Mopars and Pontiacs, oh my.
Yeah, and it's set up in such a manner that a lot of times the displays are themed, mm-hmm. you know, like all those AARs and TA Cudas and Challengers and the GSs and the class of 1970, which they combined class of 70 and 71 this year because there was no in-person show last year.
Ah, I see.
So there's a whole throng of those vehicles, mm-hmm. You know, and it just goes on and on. Some great vendors and great sponsors that helped put this on to make it all happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, if last year taught us anything, it's that this stuff can go away.
Yeah.
So while it's happening, you should take advantage of it.
You absolutely should. If you're on the fence about coming to a big show like this, make the effort to show up, and you'll not be disappointed.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's a total win.
Mm-hmm.
We could do this episode for like 26 years.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, and so a couple of our team from the V8 Speed and Resto Shop came to the show and actually had a huge weekend. They went to Rad Rides by Troy on Friday afternoon and then came here on Saturday and landed on an indicator of the health of the industry that I hadn't really considered. And the featured restorations that we unveiled are all fresh restorations. So these are all, they all went through the process mm-hmm. at a shop somewhere.
Right.
And if you say the average, you know, full frame off is, say it's a year, mm-hmm. even though it's, you know, generally longer than that, there was 25 cars that got unveiled. So that's 25 years worth of restoration work that happened yesterday.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, you know, there's still a ton of interest in all this stuff, and this show is obviously evidence of that. But that was a neat kind of figure to land on.
It really was. It really was. I see this. I don't see this industry in decline. I still see it very strong, very vibrant. Even though you still have some of these cars still have the original owners that bought them. When they're no longer with us, those cars will typically go to their kids or their sons. And then those sons are just as enthusiastic about it. And they want to keep the car up. So maybe they send it to a restoration shop and get it because they want to think of their dad. And then when they get older, you know, hopefully the cycle continues with their kids.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the cars in the barn find section was another Starliner. And it's a weird story because so a gentleman buys this thing new in 1960 and he drives it till 1970 and parks it and doesn't touch it for the rest mm-hmm. of his life.
Right.
And his kids grow up around it.
Just needs a battery, though.
He parked it for, who knows why. He did say it just needs a battery, but he parked it for some reason. And his kids grew up around it and, you know, the wife and everything. And unfortunately, the gentleman passes away and his wife gets up there in years and she's getting kind of close to the end. And she tells her son, don't ever sell that car. And then she passes. And so the son now has this car that he's had his whole life that he doesn't really have any experience with outside of it being in the garage.
Never was able to drive it.
Never heard it run.
No.
And through our friend Dan Vasek, was convinced to say, hey, let's get it out. Let's take it to the barn find section, show people what a 50, you know, time capsule looks like. And then this coming year, let's get it running and get you out driving it again.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the owner was a great guy. He was very talkative.
Was.
And really,
sure
you know,
is, yeah.
It's not like he had disdain for the car or anything. But it just, I caught this sense that the concept of him driving that around is like so foreign.
Sure.
Because he never did.
Right.
You know, it was just always a piece of furniture in the garage.
Yeah, no memories of him riding in it, probably. I'm not sure how old he was. Well, 1970.
He said he was a couple years old, and he did not remember driving around in it. You know, he was in the back seat as an infant, I guess, but that was it. And that's a 352 high pole car, so it's a pretty rare 360 horse, you know, pretty fast car. It's got exhaust cutouts on it.
Yeah, it does.
Cool
that
stuff.
That's cool. Probably not from the factory.
No, no. Well, you know, if it was a Pontiac, they would have canceled that.
Correct. Yeah.
So you never know what you're going to find. And again, if you get a chance to just talk to whoever's standing by the car and you'll learn these stories, like, wow, that's insane. And that's, to me, that's just as important as the car is the story, how it got here and what kind of life did it live and what's in the future for this car.
Yeah, man. Come to McCacken, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. MCACN.com. Yeah. It'll be right after Thanksgiving, right before Thanksgiving in Chicago. We'll see you here. But in the meantime, we have to reveal some trivia questions that people are super excited to learn about.
All right, Kevin. So I asked you, what was the internal code name of the new LT6 engine? And you said, Le Mans.
Yeah, and wrong.
Great guess.
Yeah, wrong.
Just not correct. The internal code name was Gemini.
No kidding.
And it was a reference to NASA's Gemini space program from 65 to 66. And there are some little Easter eggs that are on that engine in the form of little rocket ships.
Get out
that
of
are,
here.
That are cast into that engine.
No, I got to get one.
Externally and as well as internally, on the piston crown. There's a little rocket ship on it.
Really?
Yeah, man. I was so excited about this trivia question.
That is so cool. taking where the Oldsmobile rocket left off, it's the Gemini. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm a little curious now as to... So Gemini, of course, was the research and development mission before Apollo.
Correct.
Which Apollo put the rubber to the road and went to the moon. But they developed a lot of the technology in Gemini. So what's the analogy?
That I don't know.
So this scares me a little bit, because I think if this is Gemini, the development car engine concept, is Apollo...
Apollo on the way.
And is it...
Is it in development now?
And is it electric?
is it electric? I see where you're going with this. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
You never know, man.
We don't know. But that is super cool.
Yeah.
I dig that.
Thank you.
Great question.
Thanks.
All right. So I asked you in 1970 how many black Corvettes, and you said one.
One.
And you probably channeled that Boss 302 over there.
Did I?
Because you did shoot that unveiling yesterday. Well, this one I have an answer and a non-answer.
Oh, okay. So are any of those correct?
Yeah. One of them is.
Oh, right on.
I don't know which one. None.
None.
Yeah, black wasn't offered on Corvettes.
Ah, that was...
In 1970.
That was a guess in my head.
So that's the technical answer, but is there one out there that was painted... Could be.
Could be.
The same way that this
GS special order
across the hall from us is wearing a color it wasn't supposed to come with either.
Right.
So... I've seen a ton of C3 Corvettes in black because they just look so great in black.
Yeah.
A lot of people have painted them that color. Right. But for 1970 in specific, if you look at a chip chart...
It's not an official factory color in 70.
There.
I gotcha. Okay. I'll take the L on that one.
All right. So we're both losers here
at
McCacken today. But you won't be, I promise.
If you come here next year.
Right. All right, man. Well, this was overwhelming. This is great.
Oh, man, my head is spinning. I've had such a great time. I've been here to McCacken in the past as just a spectator, walking around, taking it all in. This year I had the unique opportunity to help you out with all the video shoots and the unveilings. I mean, even 2 years ago I had the opportunity to do the unveilings in your absence. which was mind-blowing.
I
still wake up in cold sweats from that because it was stressful, but we got through it. But this was a lot of fun. We got to see pretty much all the unveilings, and got to see a lot of cool video, learn a lot about these great cars. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me be on board with this.
Oh, man, you're welcome. Couldn't have done it without you. It's a place to go to hang out. I love to share this show with whoever we can. So
dig it.
All right, man. Well, we've got a lot more to come. We still have more stuff from the previous SEMA show that we have to release, interviews and content from there. And it feels like the end of the year always hits high gear because you've got SEMA, then you got the McCacken show, and then the PRI, Performance Racing Industry show, coming up in a couple of weeks. And I'll be there. We'll see if, I don't know if you're going to make it or not. We'll find out.
I don't know. We'll find out.
But got some big things planned for that as well. So it's always fun to end the year, you know, pedal to the metal. I did the math yesterday. This is, I'm starting week number 13 in a row without a day off.
Without a day off?
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
No, yeah, but you got to qualify that statement.
Yeah,
because,
true.
You know, kind of right now I'm working, but this isn't work.
Not really working.
Right. This is, you know, if I had a real job, 13 weeks in a row would suck. But what I do, 13 weeks in a row, like, great, keep going, you know.
I don't want a day off.
Hoping to maybe sleep after Thanksgiving for a little while and then after PRI. But
cool.
But lots of great video coming out from this show that we shot. Mm-hmm. And last week we released part two of our T-Bird chassis,
right.
5.0 six-speed conversion car at VATV. Mm-hmm. And we've got the final chapter of that one coming hopefully next week. So
cool.
It's a lot going on in every direction.
Man. Dig it.
If you like this stuff, hit that subscribe button. And make sure you do it on the video channels as well. And for Mr. Mike Hubal Clark, I'm Kevin Ostie saying, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I guess we will see you next time and hopefully next year at Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals on VA Radio.